Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
This is a show about a scrawny guy named Joel Stein. In real life, he writes for a magazine called Time. But now he's got his own cartoon show on VH1, in which he works for a TV show, a made-up one. But even though the show has got a standard sitcom feel, all the interviews with famous people are for real. Joel likes to ask him questions that'll make them squirm. Sometimes he gets punched out, but Joel never learns. Hey, Joel, what do you know?
That's actually a TV show theme song. Which was big in South Africa and Canada. Didn't have many viewers in the USA, but it's about our next guest. And his name is Joel Stein.
Hey, Joel.
Hi, Joel Stein. Long time no talk. How have you been?
I get something new out of that song every time I hear it. It's that kind of, it's a deep kind of like Beethoven's Ninth. I just feel a little something new every time.
Okay, it's not that, but I like the song too, and I think you should be happy about that, Joel.
I am.
Actually, though, we need to change it because the opening line is, here's a song about a guy who works for Time, but you actually have a piece in Vanity Fair right now, don't you?
I do, yeah. How did you find that? I was impressed when I got the email from you.
The day it posted, I don't know if you're in charge of social media, I'm going to guess not, but right away,
no, you're correct.
It was in my feed, and so there was Joel Stein's article about an interesting class. And I want to talk to you about that in Vanity Fair. In fact, it's in the February 2019 issue. There's Joel Stein being featured, which makes me wonder, because I have trouble keeping up with you, Joel. I was told to introduce you as world's greatest dad. But
that's true. That's actually a fact.
That doesn't pay. What are you doing for a living these days?
That's been a problem. I've been talking to my son about paying me. He just doesn't. He's willing, but he doesn't have the funds.
Right.
So it's been an issue.
Yeah. I mean, there you were, the featured columnist in Time. And was it Entertainment Weekly or People you were on the back page of?
No, Entertainment Weekly. I would never deign. I would never work for People.
Right. Like Entertainment Weekly is a cut above. And then we saw you on MTV and stuff like that. Really, what are you doing these days?
I just finished a book that'll be out in October because I know people love books.
Yeah.
And
title of that isn't World's Greatest Dad by any chance, is it?
No, that's probably a better title. We're going with In Defense of Elitism.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah,
oh,
really? Okay.
You would be good.
I get different responses.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not going to sell because, you know, it's about elitism, and elite is a bad word now, but it needs to be defended, and I champion the cause.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, we'll get one over to you. It'll be out October 22nd, so mark your calendar.
Hey, Joel, that's 3 days after my birthday. Are you going to travel with that? Literally, if you come to Chicago, you should swing by our studio.
All right, but then I'll have to get you a present, and that'll be okay. Maybe a book. I'll give you a book.
That's what I'm thinking, Joel. And is that the deal? Yeah. I mean, is the thrust of that book that we've sort of denigrated elitism in this country? It's a buzzword that means more than just being very good at something. And so now you're going to define and maybe defend how elitism is actually a virtue, not a vice?
Yeah, there's been a real denigration of expertise in particular in our country and in the world, actually. And that's led to this populist rise that really scares me, where we just put anyone in charge of anything as long as they can do it from their gut. And we, you know, we go on WebMD for 5 minutes and then tell our doctor that she's wrong. And, yeah, I'm just very, very worried about the situation that we're leading to without anyone who knows anything running everything.
That's interesting because I need to figure out a couple of things in my world right now. And I thought, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to YouTube and I'm going to watch a video and someone's going to explain to me how to do it. It's not hip or knee surgery. It'll be something real basic. But I mean, there is something fantastic about the immediacy that's available to us these days.
Oh, it's great. I mean, if you have to fix something in your toilet and there's some plumber that has a video up, that's perfect. That's the kind of elitism that I want to exist. What I don't want to exist is for the plumber to come over and you to have watched 1 minute of YouTube and you to tell him that you know all about your pipes.
So speaking of that, the president is a gut sort of legislator or executive.
I've heard.
And so you found a university that's teaching right now a class on Donald Trump. Is that right?
Yeah, well, let's see. It was probably a fall class, so it might have just ended. But yes, I went to a class on Donald Trump and the media taught by this guy, Sam Tannenhaus, who is a journalist who used to run the Week in Review section of the New York Times and the New York Times Book Review. And it was a pretty interesting class. It was interesting to see how young people in Canada are looking at this presidency.
Okay, so that's Canadians. I wonder if that would be a different reaction or audience than American universities.
I think so. You know, because they think, and it's weird, it's more tame, because they think Americans are crazy anyway. So this is all their expectations, you know, laid out on the table, just as they expected. But yeah, it was interesting. They watched a lot of this stuff pretty much live. They go through the news of the week. So they watched the Brett Kavanaugh hearings live and laughed uproariously every time he mentioned beer, which was, I thought, scary, because if, you know, teenage Canadians think someone is too into beer, they're definitely too into beer.
Fair enough. But so does he take an editorial position on the president, or are they just learning about...
He does, but it's from the same part of the University of Toronto where Marshall McLuhan taught, so it's really more about the media than it is Trump. And he sticks it real hard to the TV media that's covering Trump more than I think he gives it to Trump.
How so? What do you mean?
I think he's not impressed with the kind of the way that the media is both overtly kind of anti-Trump and doesn't really know how to control that, and how they don't know how to control for him not telling the truth, and how they get sucked into all of these, you know, arguments with them instead of doing what he thinks is more of their job, which is just kind of uncovering and presenting facts. So, yeah, I think, you know, cable news is what it is, and he's a print guy, so I think he's not so into it.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, don't you agree with me, Joel, that the hardest part for electronic or, you know, 24-hour media isn't even reporting the facts accurately, it's figuring out what storylines are important. I find us getting really captivated by stuff the president says or does that in the long run really aren't that important. But because you don't like Donald Trump, you dive down, you dig in, you make this seem more important than it is. There are important things happening, but it's not necessarily what the president just tweeted. You know what I mean?
I do, but I am of two minds on that, because I think this is a really unusual thing that happened in electing Donald Trump. And the way that he's governed is very unusual, and he is shattering norms constantly. So I don't think it's worth ignoring and just focusing on the actual policy changes, of which there aren't that many. I think it's worth reporting on these huge changes in our system and how we're either going to go back to the old way of being, or this is the new way of being. I know. I think it is worth reporting on.
Okay,
but I don't know what the TV stations do, because I got rid of cable a long time ago. But I think,
well,
you know, what he tweets is crazy and interesting.
But I'll give you an example. Over the weekend, he tweeted about Syria, and that's important. He also tweeted about Jeff Bezos, and that's not. You know, so there he is.
I don't know. I think when a president calls out individual citizens, especially ones who own newspapers, and you know, gives them sick burns, that's a different, you know, that's a third world tin pot dictator world, and it can have real consequences. So I don't know. I think that is worth reporting on. If it's just Donald Trump, not president, it's not interesting. But Donald Trump as president, I think it matters.
So this then guy in Toronto is teaching this class, and as much as we may be critical of the president's behavior, he's really angry, would you say, at the media for the way they're handling their reportage of him?
Yes, and just in general, the kind of the way the 24-hour news cycle has spun out. So, yeah, he really analyzes the relationship between Trump and the media, which is a really complicated relationship, because it's all Trump really cares about in the end. So, it was a really interesting class, and the students were really bright, and University of Toronto is a very international student body.
Yeah.
It's one of the best colleges in the country.
I wonder if, in a way, that it's in Canada there almost makes the audience better, right? The Americans are too invested in this. Maybe the Canadians can stand back and judge the failings of the media or the president. You know, they don't have the same political bias, maybe, or the skin in the game that we do as citizens, right?
I don't know. I think they're really nervous about America in general. I think it consumes all of the Canadian brain.
Really?
Like, they know all of our states, and they know the rules of our elections, and I think they know more about our government than they know about their own government.
Or than we know about our government. That's the thing that slays me when I travel a little bit around the world. They'll remember things about our, you know, like,
yeah.
Do I know the capital of Canada? Nah, give me three guesses.
You know what? You do, because you follow hockey.
Okay, so it's Montreal?
No, because you follow the hockey team, the Senators.
I'm trying to remember what the capital of Canada is, and there's a few hockey teams in Canada. So it's there's the Montreal.
Oh, my God, you don't. The Ottawa Senators.
Oh, the Ottawa Senators. Really? That's your memory device for me, the Ottawa Senators?
I thought you were a hockey guy. I was trying to help you.
The Chicago Blackhawks are on this station, but that doesn't make me a Canadian.
What? That's the worst analogy I've heard since Trump.
Thank you. I've been reporting on that subject for a lot, Joel. It's been very difficult. I wonder if a class like that could be taught at the University of Chicago or University of Illinois, Chicago, some of the Chicago universities and schools.
I think so.
But don't you see how problematic that would be? Because at the end of the day, it would be very difficult for it not to be or to be seen as a bash Donald Trump or a promote Donald Trump class. And I don't think...
Well, I think that was a challenge there, too. I mean, it saves them a little bit by being in a foreign country. But I think, you know, I think that was a real challenge. And I think one interesting thing is this professor, Sam, he's not a professor, the teacher, Sam, has done a really good job in not making it that, because that would be too easy. And he's written a bunch... He's a liberal guy, but he's writing a book about William Buckley right now, and he's written other books about conservatives. So I think he's sympathetic to hearing both sides. But one interesting thing is everyone in the class is pretty calm, but no one's really spoken up pro-Donald Trump at all. You know, it's a college, it's Canada. However, in the midterms, the TAs found something different, which was that some of the students were pro-Trump, and they're just kind of probably afraid to talk.
Yeah, what do you do about that?
I don't know. I don't know what you do about that in general. I mean, I think we're all in our own bubbles, afraid to say anything against what, you know, the people who live amongst us think.
I think this is a different topic now, but I think what is not known to either side is how many people are on both sides. You know, I think that the mainstream media, as critical as they are of the president, is somewhat intimidated by the notion of those Trump supporters who won't be swayed and who will punish your advertisers or you for your ratings because they don't like what you say. I think it has a chilling effect. And what we don't know is, in fact, how many of those people there really are. I think about this every day, Joel, and I don't know how to balance it to reflect maybe the interests or needs of the audience.
Yeah, well, you know, it's tough because, you know, there's also a lot of, when things get this polarized, there's a lot of people who kind of think, meh, a couple things Trump did is okay. I don't have to hate it all. And they're not allowed to talk amongst the anti-Trump people. So, yeah, I think it's, when things get this polarized, things get real angry real fast. And that's, you know, if this were a kind of third world country that had just been invaded, we'd definitely be at civil war right now. Like, if you poll people,
yeah.
The anger is just too intense.
Well, I worry about that if we try and impeach the president, is I think there would be violence in the streets. That doesn't mean he shouldn't.
I don't actually think there'd be violence in the street, but I think it's not a good idea. I don't want to inflame people more, but I don't think we're not a civil war kind of place. The society is a little too stable for that.
Joel, when you and I talk, it's usually a lot more fun, or at least funny, than this.
No, you know, is it the world, or is it just me getting old?
Oh, you're definitely. I think it's the latter. It's probably both. It's the former and the latter. When the book comes out October 22nd, it's about In Defense of Elitism. You're going to stick with that title, right?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. They shouldn't? Should I? What are you saying?
I'm not going to comment on that, Joel. But do
Yeah, well, no, you should. No. Don't be here afraid, just like the listeners.
Come through our studio in Chicago next time you're in town and when the book comes out, all right?
It's not too cold late October, right?
No, it's sunny and warm here all the time.
Good. I'm in.
I'm hanging up now, Joel. Nice to talk to you, my friend.
All right, I'm just going to keep talking into this phone.
He probably is. It's in the February issue of Vanity Fair that he writes about this class where they are teaching about Donald Trump and where the teacher is most critical of the media's handling. Well, that sounds like there's something for everyone.